I want to preach a message out of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's been interesting that as we have looked at building the church, that a lot of messages have come out of the book of Acts, or they have come out of the book of Corinthians. One is an example of a church that is on fire for the Lord, and the other is a church that is that resembles a lot of problems we have today. Amen. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have been figured, transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto men, unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, or in the spirit of meekness? Thank you, may be seated. The church in Corinth was in serious trouble, and I'm afraid that in many ways the church in Corinth could be established and pictured over and over and over again in our generation. As we look through the book of Corinth, we are reminded that Paul begins to deal with certain situations and problems that had festered in the church because, as Brother Tommy preached yesterday, they had left out many things. We find in chapter 1 and verse 18 that Paul reminds them that they needed to get back to the powerful and proper method, and that was the preaching of the cross. There is no other gospel other than the preaching of Christ. There is no other thing that will cause a man to fall under conviction except for the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible goes on and tells us that the preaching of the cross is not going to be accepted by the foolish man, but it's only going to be accepted by this pure mind, spiritual unto spiritual. And we find here as we end up chapter 2 that he says, for we have the mind of Christ. What a grateful thing it is to have this mind that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, can reveal to me the things of God. Then we move on to chapter 3 and we look at the building of the church and how they had splintered, and we find that Paul reminds them of the proper materials needed, the gold and the silver, these things that will sustain and pass through the fire, the testing of God, and how that the carnal things of this world, the wood, hay, and stubble, would not endure throughout the eternal test that God has for us. But then we come to chapter 4. And after we've looked at the method, and after we've looked at the mind, and after we've looked at the materials, we find that Paul begins to deal with the man of God. And I'm going to tell you, as Dr. Lee Robertson used to say, where the leadership is, everything rises and falls on leadership. Amen. And I'm convinced that God's method today is not in programs, but it's still in a man. And God is still looking for a man. He's still looking for a man to put His hand upon, and a man to pour His power upon, and a man that He can use. And we find in chapter 4 and verse 1, let's back up to verse 23 of chapter 3. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. What a joy it is today to stand and to be called by God. But what a fearful thing it is to know the responsibility of the gospel that has been placed upon our shoulders today. Amen. And we find here that as Paul deals with this problem, that we come to the end of the passage, and we find here in verse 19 that Paul comes and he says a statement. He says, when I come to you, there's going to be something that I'm not going to recognize. Notice what he says in verse 19. He says of chapter 4, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up. He says there's going to be a language, there's going to be a method that I'm not going to recognize. But I'll tell you what I will recognize. I'll tell you what will stand out. It's not the words you speak, but it's going to be the power and the Spirit from which it comes from. Notice what it says. I will not know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. And notice verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 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 Oh, how we must understand the power that God has placed upon us. August the 6th of 1953. During the Great World, a war that combined all of the countries and around the globe, there was a captain named Mr. Tibbetts who was flying the Enola Gay. He had left out of the airport there and had been training for several weeks. They had 15 planes that they had been working on at an altitude of 26,000 feet. He announced to his crew at 8:09 that they would be dropping, or excuse me, at 6 o'clock, 6:09, that they would be dropping the first atomic bomb. The atomic bomb would be 26,000 pounds of TNT, would be the same amount of explosive power. And at 8:16 on that morning, they dropped that bomb and literally leveled out an entire city. But I want us to understand today that with all the things that man can create and with all the things that man can produce, that nothing can come close to the explosive power that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded in Matthew chapter 28 as Jesus stands before His disciples and says, all power is given unto me, that before we come to that chapter, at the beginning of the chapter, we are dealing with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as all the world looked upon a crucified dying man, and some looked and mocked, and even those that were scholarly walked by and said, this cannot be the one, the Messiah. If you're truly the Messiah, save yourself, come down from the cross. And they wrapped His cold body and placed it in a grave. But on that day, listen my friend, the stone was broken and the grave, the seal that they had put on there, could hold Him no more because He was the resurrected Son of the Most High God. And with that explosive power that overcame death, sin, and the grave, He stands before His disciples, these few fishermen, these men that were just mere men, and He says, all power is given unto me. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. What a gospel. What power. I'm amazed at the power of God. It just overwhelms me sometimes to just know what God's power can do in somebody's life.
to see a man come into a church who has tattoos lined all over him, who is literally dead to God, who literally is defiant in his life, whose moms and dads have maybe raised him, and maybe he's heard the gospel here and there, but he comes into a gospel Baptist preaching church, and something unusual comes over his heart and life that he can't even explain. There is a battle that he has never had before in his life. And it is a battle not with the outward. It's not something that he can punch or fight physically. But it's a battle that wars within his soul. And for the first time, the Word of God begins to pierce his heart. And that man whose whole life and dress and makeup, and literally when he pulls into the parking lot, he has the demonic music blasting through his ears, trying once again to make his spirit dull to the hearing of the Word of God. And yet when he comes in and he hears the preaching of the Word of God, and that resurrection power that calls the Son of God to come out from the grave begins to come into his life, and as he yields and surrenders to that, he is born again. Oh friend, that is the power of God. We had a lady that came to our church about 2 months ago. Her name was Annette Perez. We had somebody in Walmart give her a gospel tract and witness to her. She came to church, and when she came to church, she drove 1 hour and 15 minutes. She comes from Tarpon Springs. Every Sunday morning and every Sunday night, she's in the service. She's not there on Wednesday night. She is a sheriff. She told me later on in her testimony, she says, "Pastor, you wouldn't believe this. I've been divorced twice." She says, "I am a liberal feminist. There ever was one." She came to a bowling activity. She'd been in the service several times. My wife took her aside after the bowling activity and said, "Annette, are you saved?" She says, "I'm not sure." She says, "Well, what do you mean?" She says, "Well, I went home after a service and I got on my knees and I asked Christ to come in my life. And there's been a change. But I haven't gone forward in the church. Do you have to go forward in the church to make it real?" Woo! She got baptized 2 weeks ago. When Annette got baptized, this ought to put us to shame, she had 14 visitors in the service. We had a young lady walk down the aisle that worked with her at the sheriff's department over in Pinellas County. She walked down the aisle and she said, my wife took her out and she said this, now you hear me, this is the gospel in power. She said, "I've seen such a change in this lady's life, I had to come to the place and find out where it happened." I'm going to tell you something, that's exciting stuff. That's the power of God. And I'm going to tell you something, fellas, oh my, to think that God has entrusted me with such ability and power that when we preach, we see the Word of God go out and pierce hearts. We must do this in fear and trembling, not in bragging and boasting. And the problem with this is, hear me, is in chapter 4, these men of God had forgotten their position in Christ. Notice 4 things very quickly. Number 1, the Bible tells us that we must be faithful in the ministry. Notice what he says in chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Amen. There is a position. The position of the minister is that he is an under rower. The word minister literally means an under rower. He is not the captain. He is not the one on board. He is not even seen. He is below the deck. And he is not the first layer of rowers. He's not even the second. But as we read Ryrie's commentary, Ryrie says that this was the lowest rower on the ship. He was at the very bottom of the ship. Amen. Is there not a principle that Jesus says that which is the greatest must be the minister of us all? Didn't Jesus say that He came not to be ministered to, but to minister? Amen. And do we not realize our position that we are not masters, but we are ministers of the mystery of God? This gospel that can only be revealed by the Holy Ghost of God. It is not my job to change the gospel. It is, by the way, it's not my job to make people understand the gospel. I'm not to water it down. I'm to give it out in full proof. And it's the Holy Ghost of God that reveals the mystery. To a lost man, it is a mystery. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. And so as a rower of the ship, I'm not to argue with the captain. I'm not to argue about his direction in my life. I'm simply to row. Well, who's adding to the ship? He is. I just row. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you how pride gets in our life and arrogance gets in our life and potentials and titles get in our life. Paul says, you need to remember, you're a rower. Row, 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 row. Oh, what's he doing? Row. Oh, what's he doing? Just row. Amen. Peter said, well, what about John? Yeah. Jesus said, don't worry about John, you follow me. Amen. Not only do we see his position, we see his possession. The Bible says, not only is he a minister, but he's a steward. A steward possesses nothing. He's the manager. As a matter of fact, if we look at this passage, notice with me in chapter verse 6, and the Bible says here, or verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Amen. Listen, I'm a steward. Everything on board the boat belongs to the master. I'm not the master, I'm the minister. Amen? If God builds this church or if God builds another church, it is God that builds it, and shame on me if I take any ounce of glory for what God has done in my life. Amen? You see, the great qualification is something that every minister can be. Faithful! The word faithful has to do with trustworthy. May I tell you today that when God comes back and when I stand before God, oh Lord, help me to be trustworthy with what He has placed in my hands. Help me to be faithful with what He's given to me. Oh Lord, just help me to continue to plow, not looking to the right, not looking to the left, but just continue to be faithful as a steward of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only must we be faithful in the ministry, we must be mindful of the Master. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Or actually, verse 4. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Not only must I be faithful in the ministry that God has placed me in, but I must understand that it is the Lord Jesus Christ that will judge me. Amen. I believe one of the great destructions of men is to look for the approval of other men. The Bible makes it very clear that no man can judge my ministry. And by the way, I can't judge your ministry. Our human egos wants to change the standard of what is right and what is not right. Ministry is not always what is big and best. Sometimes ministry is what is holiness unto the Lord. I'd rather have a holiness church. Maybe that didn't come out the right way. A holy church is a healthy church. Yeah, amen. God help us. I'm telling you, I've got some good friends, and so do you. Man, whatever will draw, they'll do. But I'm going to tell you, one day I'm going to stand before an almighty God. There is a time of judgment. And friend, I can't even judge my own self. Paul said, I don't even try to judge myself. I look at my ministry. Do you know how our ego wants to find somebody else to compare our ministries to? Boy, our egos get into trouble. Amen? I can always find somebody struggling a little bit heartless than me. But I don't always know their walk with God. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know what God's building. God's doing great works everywhere.
Amen.
He's working in lives. God's design is to make ministers more than it is ministries, I think. How much time did he spend on his ministers instead of the great multitudes? Pull these men away. I can't judge myself. Boy, how I want to judge myself. How we need that sometimes, that ego. Amen. What are you? Well, you belong down there on the bottom row. Well, what do? You just row. Well, how long? Till the trumpet sounds. Well, I want a bigger job. Well, you just go down there and row. Well, I want another job. I'm right there and row. Nobody will see me down there. That's where I can use you. Well, I want to be on top. I want a nice outfit. Would you go down there and row? Nobody knows I'm down there rowing. Oh, there will come a time when He will judge. He'll bring all things into light.
Amen.
Two things. He'll bring the hidden things of darkness. And He'll also bring the counsel of my heart. Do you know those are two things that nobody else in this world knows?
Right.
Nobody knows the hidden things in my life.
Yeah.
Nobody knows the true counsel of my heart.
Yeah.
Only knowing those two things can we accurately judge a minister. Amen. But there will come a time when He'll come and He will give us that judgment.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Not only is there faithfulness in the ministry, mindful of the master, but number three, would you notice the humility in our method? Notice what the Bible says here in verse 8. Now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us, but I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Verse 11, even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved son, I warn you. There is missing today the proper spirit of humility in the ministry. Everyone wants to run to the top of the ship, but I'm telling you that there was something in Paul's life that as he begins to give his reason for writing this letter, and as he begins to look at the ministers that are in place, he says, when you light up the life, hear me, when you light up the spirit, there is something missing in your spirit. These men wanted to be kings. And Paul said, we're not kings. We're spectacles to the world and to men and to angels. There was a spirit of sacrifice that was missing in their life. Oh, that God would give us some men not worried about what they're going to make, but worried about what God could do with their life. Amen. We have men nowadays coming out of colleges, and the first thing they want to know about is their insurance plan and their retirement plan and days off and what their pay is and what this is going to be on. I'm going to tell you something. I wish we had some guys that just said, you know what, I don't want this ministry, but pastor, wherever you'll use me, I want to be used of God. Let me be a servant in the church. By the way, there was a time where we didn't need to hire staff men. We had so many people surrendered at the altar. We had too many positions. We had people at the church all the time. We had bus ministers that were plumbers. Sunday school directors that were bus drivers for the school. And every moment they had, they were devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've got buildings and we've got this. And we've got to hire somebody to mow the grass, for heaven's sakes. Where is our servitude spirit today? Come on now. Can't even get people to pick up paper as they walk out of the church. And I'm telling you that it comes from leadership. Peter, if you follow me, there'll come a day where they'll take your life and they'll hang you upside down. Follow me. Amen. God, give us some men that'll sacrifice with the spirit to suffer, with the spirit to stand, with the spirit to surrender their heart to God. He said, these guys over here want to reign. We'll be gladiators. We'll be the spectacles. We'll be in their fighting. You guys want to be honored. We'll be the offspring of the world. You want to reign? We'll labor. We'll go hungry. We'll pay the cost. We'll be buffeted. We'll do what is necessary that Jesus Christ is honored in our life. Amen. I'm telling you, we need just some passion. We need some passion. Well, I'm telling you, I remember being at Trinity and back in when Dr. Gray was there, and I remember we'd go to chapel, altars would just be full, guys would get up, man, they'd skip lunch to go out soul winning, they're just so fired up, and then they'd come back to the dorms, and the lights out would be at 10 o'clock, but man, we'd get into tag team preaching, and tears would be rolling. And man, they'd be preaching till 11:30, 12 o'clock. We'd have revival. There was just this, and the spirit of passion. Lord, let me serve. I don't care where. I don't care how. I don't care what's necessary. I want to be a minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then our flesh begins to be elevated. And we begin to look at the ministry through the eyes of men and not through the eyes of Christ. Instead of being ministers, stewards, and servants, we become masters and lords. And we want to be seen. Amen. God, give us a spirit that is seen in the life of Paul. Number four, they wanted to be teachable in their message. Paul says, you've got the wrong spirit. I'm going to send Timothy to teach you. Verse 17, I'm going to skip a lot for time's sake. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up. You would agree with me, pastors, that you can't teach pride. Amen. You cannot lead arrogance. I wonder sometimes if I am teachable before the Lord. I want to be teachable. It is arrogance that says I know how to do it. It is pride that says I've got a great thing going. Oh, God, teach me. These were pastors, were they not? These were the leaders of the church. I'm sending Timothy, who's back on track. Timothy, who's faithful in the Lord. Timothy, who has stayed in the book. Timothy, who is humble. Timothy, who has the right spirit. I'm going to send him to you. And I'm convinced that one of the great, great, great examples of being filled with the Spirit is how we take rebuke and reproof. Amen. We say that with our people. Well, they didn't take that very well. How do we take it? Amen. And I'm telling you that I need it every single day of my life. If I'm going to be a minister of the Lord, boy, how I slack. I'm convinced that sometimes I'm a union worker when it comes to rowing. I want my breaks. God help us to be faithful in the ministry. I'd mentioned an illustration. I'm going to just close for time's sake. I remember my dad and I was a junior when I was at Trinity, and we had a preacher's meeting there in May. It was back, I think, around 90-91. And they had just rededicated a library there. And I remember they had raised some funds for the library, and they said, all right, here's what we're going to do. All the pastors that are here for the meeting, we want to get a picture of the library, and we want all of you to go and stand in front of the library, and we've got this photographer, he's going to take the picture, and we're going to blow it up, and we're going to put it in the library. This was a day we dedicated the library, Trinity Baptist College. And so the pastors were making their way over there, and I remember grabbing my dad's arm. I was a junior, and I said, Dad, let's hurry. And he said, why? I said, well, being real honest, I said, well, we're kind of short. Let's get in the front so we can get in the picture and they can see us. And my dad, with great words of wisdom, grabbed my arm and said, stop. He said, son, we got no business being in the front. I said, Dad, they won't see us if we're not in the front. He said, son, we've got no business being in the front. We need to stand in the back. And I said, Dad, we're too short. They'll never see us. He said, son, if you want to be seen, you can't be used. If you want to be seen, you can't be used. Say, where do I belong? Oh, I don't even belong on the first row. I don't belong on the second row. I belong on the bottom. Well, who's going to see you down there? Well, what do I do down there? Be faithful. Well, how long? Be mindful of the Master. Humble in your method. Be teachable in your word. Because I'm convinced that Paul said this, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Amen. Father, I pray you'd bless us today. I pray you'd be with the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen.